This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it, the lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
And the Warriors get away to go 2-0 with Jimmy Butler and one game above the 500 mark. Now have a chance to set themselves up for a chance for a winning road trip, but they'd have to sweep the last two in Texas.
Well, for a consecutive game, the Butler and the Chef did it, this time in five-serve form, with the three-point shot, with the free throw shot, and the Warriors walk away with another double-digit victory. This time they beat the Milwaukee Bucks by a final score of 125-111, and they won two in a row. They are 2-0 to begin the Jimmy Butler era in Golden State, and I got to say that was a game that, yes, Giannis is not playing, one of the best players in the NBA, but the Golden State Warriors virtually controlled from start to finish. There was a brief period in the third quarter where the Bucks got the lead on A.J. Green 3. They led at most by 5 in this game, but for the most part, this was a Warriors win where they kind of just walked down the Bucks, and it was an opponent that you felt like, again, off on the heels of a Chicago Bulls drubbing from down 24 to up 20. You know, they kind of had the seesaw, two side of the coin performance at the United Center. Tonight, I thought it was a much more thorough, balanced type of beating that they handed the Bucks, and they take care of business in Milwaukee to move a game above 500. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. My name is Evan Giddings, alongside Cameron Williams. Our guy is running things back here in the studio. And overall, you know, I think that Jimmy Butler is someone that it is apparent thus far has injected confidence into the Golden State Warriors, and it is so apparent. And it's palpable. You know, really, my only question is, can they keep it going and how sustainable it is? Because across the first two games against two opponents that are either not at full strength or not very good in the form of Chicago, like, those are two wins that you got to get. And the first one, again, was maybe marred a little bit by the first half into the third quarter. But this game, I thought, was, even though it was close, this is the kind of game that good teams play, right? They keep things even. Curry has the Warriors up by a pair after the end of the first quarter. Jimmy Butler steps in with the second unit in the second quarter, extends the lead to six going into the break, or pardon me, to seven going into the break. They have a little bit of a lull in the third quarter. They lock back in at the end of the third with Curry scoring 12 points in the third quarter. Jimmy Butler tacking on nine in the third. Jimmy Butler grabbing the baton into the fourth quarter, and then he and Steph together essentially closing out Milwaukee down the fourth, and they you know, at one point, we're up by 19 points. They brought in the white flag, I think, with about a minute and 30 left in this game. And Doc Rivers' squad pretty much had nothing. I thought this was a very thorough win for the Warriors, and one that we have not seen a whole lot of as of late. Again, December was a month to forget. January was a 500 month. And they're now in a position where at the deadline, whether it was because Jimmy Butler was forced upon them by Kevin Durant turning his back, or because the Warriors decided that they had to go all in to go get somebody, and Jimmy Butler was just the best player out there, this looks like it is going to work. Again, you still have a 36 going on 37-year-old in Curry. You still have a 35-year-old in Butler, a 34-year-old in Draymond. But the early returns are extremely promising for the Warriors. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap Up. That is our number, the text line. Shout out to the YouTube chat and everybody filing in, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I think that this is the kind of performance that you can see being sustainable if these guys are able to stay healthy. And the reason is, you look up and down at the box score, and it wasn't as if the Warriors outshot the Bucks tonight. They didn't outshoot them as far as percentage-wise from three-point range. They obviously got to the free throw line a bunch, and Jimmy Butler was a massive reason why. They were terrors on the glass. They passed the ball very well in this game. Defensively, they were everywhere. They had a season-high 16 steals. But, you know, points in the paint, they won, but it was relatively even. Fast break points, they won, but it wasn't by a wide margin. They just kind of manhandled Milwaukee. And again, they walked them down over the course of 48 minutes. And this was a game in the first quarter that got some early contributions. Buddy Hield, I thought, played a really nice game in the first half. He finished with 16 points, was plus 11 in this game. Steph Curry, took him a little while to get going, but then once the third quarter came and went, he just absolutely turned it on. And the thing about Jimmy Butler, that again, he has injected confidence into this roster that's been laying pretty dormant. And I realize that they still have some work to do, right? They're not a perfect team, and we can get into all the, you know, kind of the, I guess, micro and macro aspects of this game. They're still going to have to figure out how to fill out their roster. But right now, the vibes around this team are matching what we've heard from the locker room, which is everyone likes each other, the emotions are good, people are getting along, but they haven't been winning enough games to justify that sentiment and those feelings. Now Jimmy Butler comes along, and he brings with him, you know, this assumed baggage, where now he is able to play with joy because he's back on the court, he's got his money right, he's in a new scene, and he's kind of just picked up the Warriors off the canvas, or at least in a place where they were sort of just laying and chilling, trying to figure out where this season was going to go. It was almost as if at the trade deadline, this was a Warriors team that was begging to be helped, and I don't think they knew what kind of help they were going to get in Jimmy Butler. I admittedly did not know what kind of help they were going to get in Jimmy Butler, because from all of the reports, Steve Kerr had no relationship with him. Steph Curry wanted a different player, according to different reports. Draymond Green has not had much of a relationship with Butler, and obviously he's somebody that can be a bit testy at times. Jimmy Butler appears to be the yin to the yang of the Golden State Warriors, and so far, so good. They've won two games. They've beaten two beatable opponents. I think they have another beatable opponent, though they're a bit better, in the Mavericks on Wednesday, who are obviously going to be without Anthony Davis. And then you play the Houston Rockets right before the All-Star break, and you have a chance to build some momentum as the Warriors attempt to dig themselves out of the hole that they built by going 10-20 over 30 games over the course of essentially a month and a half. But overall, I think that the early returns on Jimmy Butler are fantastic. And not just because they've won both of these games, but because of the way they've done it, and in particular, the way that Steph Curry has done it. And I know that we're going to get into Butler, and I've been very excited to watch him play in a Warriors uniform. I've been a big fan of Jimmy Butler for a long time, and I got some more on that in a moment. But it does start and end with Curry. And Curry, to me, looks like an energized 30. even at age 36. And of course, tonight, fourth straight 30-point game. He joins Michael Jordan and Karl Malone, along with LeBron James, as the only players to do that at age 36 or beyond. Players to score 30 points or more in four straight games. And he did it tonight in a much different way. Again, Curry is someone that has been hoisting, you know, the Utah loss, the LA loss, getting up 30-plus shots. You should be getting 30 points. But the last two games have been completely different. And to me, the way that Curry has looked like an inspired man, he's also scored 30 straight points for the first time since the 2020-21 season, which is when he was last first-team All-NBA and third finishing in MVP voting. But the last two games look completely different from the first two in which he scored 30. And to me, the numbers you have to look at is what Curry's doing from inside the three-point line and what he's doing at the free-throw line. For example, tonight, he gets to the free-throw line 9 times. He's 6-for-8 on twos. He's not afraid to take it to the basket. He still hoisted 16 three-point shots. Don't get me wrong, he made 6 of them. But the fact that Curry is willing to go inside and attack the paint, number one, to me, indicates that there's more space in there. There's more room for him to operate, but also that he has more inspiration to do so, that there's more motivation to do so. So to me, I think that Jimmy Butler has kind of given Curry that second wind. And again, the question is, can they sustain it? Because the head of the snake of the Warriors, being their top three players, they're all older. You know, I'm curious to see how Jonathan Kuminga is going to fit into this. Steve Kerr tonight went smaller with his starting lineup. Is that something that is just because Milwaukee was Giannis-less tonight? And they tried to get a little bit up and down. They knew they could get away with a smaller five. Is it also because Quentin Post has struggled a bit in his last couple of games, and maybe Kerr doesn't want to put too much on him too soon? I saw Quentin Post respond tonight off the bench. When he's hitting threes, this Warriors team is able to take offense to another level. And that's another thing that I've also seen from this Warriors team in just two games. But it kind of started, like, the way that I looked at the last, I would say, week or couple of weeks of the Warriors, to me, what they did in January is they stabilized their season. Now, obviously, they didn't take off and run with it, but they stabilized a portion of their season where they were playing some very, very poor basketball. And then they get to the deadline at the beginning of February, and they get the shot in the arm. They get the injection of a legitimate former superstar. Like, I don't know if people have watched Jimmy Butler outside of his postseason performances, but I would argue that's really all you need to see. Like, this guy has, I believe, 8 40-point postseason games in his career. That's nothing to be scoffed at. Jimmy Butler has won 60% of his games since he has entered the NBA. That's a 49-win pace. So when Jimmy Butler plays, his teams play at essentially a 50-win pace. That's nothing to scoff at. Butler helps you win, and I think we've seen in the first two games, he helps him control the games that you're supposed to. So, to me, the yin and yang of Butler and Curry, and they talked about it after the first win when they beat the Bulls, that opposites attract. Jimmy Butler said it. Curry said we're opposite as far as the amount of threes he likes to take, the amount of free throws that Jimmy will take. Jimmy Butler, I don't even know if he's made a three to begin his Warriors career. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter because he's still found different ways to score. But those two players, the opposite attract type of, you know, sentiment that Jimmy Butler has been promoting so far, it does appear to have some validity. And again, it's only two games, but these two games, I think, have not just energized the fan base and a lot of people watching, but I think they've also energized these two players. Jimmy Butler has been energized because he got $110 million for the next two seasons, and he's back playing basketball, which I do believe legitimately he loves to do. He's a baller. He is a hoop head. And Steph Curry has been energized by, again, doing the Lord's work basically the first, you know, 45 games of this season, not just the way that he's played and had to carry this team, but also he's had to essentially be the mouthpiece for the front office, talking about what they're not going to mortgage, what things haven't been worth it. The Warriors trying to go after Paul George, Lauri Markkanen, last offseason and the season before that, maybe it was Siakam at the deadline. It was supposed to be Kevin Durant before Durant nixed the trade. They've gone after all these big fish, and they ended up with the correct fish, right? You're trying to go out and get that 150-pound marlin when you realize that a 70-pound bass might actually be the best fish, not just to catch, but also to bring in and provide a meal for your family. And right now, that those two players, Curry and Butler, they appear to have an immediate synergy and chemistry that I didn't foresee. I thought this would take a little more time. And again, they're going to play better opponents. I think the next two opponents they play, Dallas and Houston, are certainly going to be better tests. Even though Dallas is injured, they still have something that I think the Warriors haven't really seen yet, which is an extremely quick guard. Like, Lillard is someone that can get downhill, but without a running mate, he is not the same version of himself, though he did, of course, score 38 points tonight. And then the Houston Rockets are a young, fast, athletic team. I think that's going to offer some challenges for the Warriors as well. But overall, I think an extremely good start for Golden State in the Jimmy Butler era. I was cautiously optimistic about this because I really love Jimmy. Like, the way that I kind of think about Jimmy Butler, and it was funny listening to some of the post-game talk about how, you just forget, right, how good Jimmy Butler really is. Because, to me, he's one of the few players in the NBA that can control a game by taking 10 shots if he needs to. Now, tonight, and in his first two games, he's taken more. But Jimmy Butler helped control this game even though he went 4 of 12 from the floor. Because he got to the free throw line. Because he had 6 offensive rebounds. Because he had 6 assists. Because he had 4 steals. A quarter of the Warriors' season-high 16 steals. And he also only committed 1 turnover. So Jimmy Butler is a player that can, even when he's not shooting well, and he went 0 for 2 from distance, doesn't really matter. Even missing 3 free throws might be considered an off night for Butler because he's an 85% career free throw shooter. But the point is, he can help you win in different ways, even when he's not playing at his best. And he only played 31 minutes tonight. That's another thing, too. The Warriors are going to have to keep a little bit of an eye early on the workload that Jimmy Butler has, because he's a guy that's averaged, 56 and a half games over the last several years that he's played in Miami, regular season games, that is. He's someone that's occasionally known to kind of, put it into second gear if he feels like he needs to get himself revved up for particular games, or more importantly, for postseasons. He's been known to take regular seasons off. So far, he has not taken the first two games off. And I hope that energy that's been infectious thus far for the Warriors can continue to move them forward as we head into the All-Star break, and hopefully get a nice breather between what the Warriors were before the trade deadline, what they currently are, and what they're looking to do after the All-Star break, which is obviously make a run towards the postseason push and the playoffs, a place that they were not at last year. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors defeated the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, 125-111, now 27-26, 2-0 to begin the Jimmy Butler era. Let's start with Warriors David in Concord wants to talk about the Warriors W tonight and some of their bigger picture stuff. Warriors David, my man, what's going on? How are you?
All right, I'm doing great. First of all, obviously, we're all super excited at the fresh start we just got, but I'm here to talk about JK. I can't wait to see JK in the lineup. He's one of the few players in the NBA, maybe a couple dozen players that can, create on his own in the paint. And the second thing is Quentin Post. In the Warriors' run in the last dozen years, we have never had a stretch five, and there are still few of them in the league, and Steve Kerr must be a kid in the candy store. I'm going to take your comments off the air.
Well, that I very much agree with David. Yeah, I do think Kerr is a kid in the candy store because he's got a dude. Like, Jimmy Butler's a dude. Jimmy Butler is a player that has a resume that I think is more underrated than even is some people across the league give credence to. Like, Jimmy Butler is, I think maybe because he was in, I don't know what you'll give me for this, Cam, but maybe because in the celebrity game coming up on Friday, there's a guest coach, and I can't remember if it's in the celebrity game or the Rising Stars game, but hold on. Jimmy Butler, he kind of reminds me of like 2 Chainz. Like, 2 Chainz is a guy that, it might surprise you, like, he's got a Grammy. Well, he's actually got 8 Grammy nominations. He's actually one of the highest-selling artists in the 2010s. Every time you hear him, you're like, damn, 2 Chainz can rap. But you're always wondering, well, I haven't heard of 2 Chainz in a while. Like, every time a particular play is made by Jimmy Butler, you're like, damn, that guy could play. Every single time you see a stretch of basketball from Jimmy Butler, you're wondering, why couldn't this work in Miami? Why couldn't this work in Minnesota? Why couldn't this work in Philadelphia? Why couldn't this work in Chicago? You know, again, and there's all reasons for that we can get into over an extended period of time. But the fact of the matter remains, Jimmy Butler is a winner, just like 2 Chainz, I think, is a pretty damn good rapper. But you get the point. Like, you forget about how good of a talent some of these guys are. And I think that's exactly why Steve Kerr's a kid in the candy shop, because he talked about needing talent over culture. And Jimmy Butler's talent. All right, let's go to Adam in San Francisco, wants to get into maybe the biggest difference between Jimmy Butler before and now, free throws. Adam, what's up, my man? How are you?
Hey, good. I just wanted to say thanks for making me laugh about the 2 Chainz thing. I'm a big fan of his as well. His raps are hilarious. He's also like 6'6". Like, he's a tall rapper.
Dude, he can hoop, Adam. Did you know that?
I think, yeah. I've seen some highlights. I also wanted to give you some credit that I'm high school friends with Carter, and he speaks very highly of you. And I've known about you since before he started working on the show, but I appreciate your takes. You know the game well.
Thanks, Nick. Carter's a man.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say, I can take your answer off air, but I'm saying this in a sense of, when was the last time that the Warriors shot 38 free throws in a game? Because I can't remember. The Jimmy effect is pretty incredible 2 games in, with that free throw percentage increasing and the shot attempts increasing. Steph Curry has gotten to the line 8+ times in back-to-back games, which I can't tell you the last time that happened. So
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The effect, and also, this was the first time in a while tonight where I saw the ball tic-tac-toeing around the court, and I haven't seen ball movement like that from the Warriors in like that in probably about 6 years. And thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Adam. By the way, 2 Chainz actually had a scholarship to Alabama State. Like, that dude legitimately could play basketball. As far as the easiness of the offense, I think that's a fantastic observation. And the reason is, like, so let's take tonight Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a team that's down its best player, probably also its best defensive player, right? Giannis does just about everything for them. And they're also a team that is, you know, a little older, a little slower. I know that they got Kuzma at the deadline. I actually think he hurts them more than he helps them, even though he was rewarded a few different times for just crashing into bodies and getting the free throw line. But as a result, Milwaukee tried to play a zone, especially, I think it was in that second quarter and parts of the second half. They go to a zone against the Warriors. And this is something that I took note of, because I think it was in the Utah game, but even before that, you go back to actually Jimmy Butler's old team, the Miami game, where they lost, and Miami was on the tail end of a back-to-back. They didn't have Butler, obviously, and they still beat the Warriors at Chase Center, and you saw the Heat play a ton of zone. Now, they play more zone than other teams, but to me, Jimmy Butler is a zone beater, and the reason is, he can kill you from the mid-range. And I don't just mean as a shooter. Like, he's able to hit jump shots. He had a nice fadeaway from the corner over A.J. Green. But as a passer, like, that's where I think you're spot on, Adam. As a passer, Jimmy Butler is able to do so much from that mid-range spot that he hurts zones because he can hurt you more with basically just all of the versatile options that you have from, let's say, the free throw line. You know, if someone crashes, he can dump to the dunker spot. He's also someone that can pull up and hit a shot. He could put his head down and get to the rim. From that middle area, if a team is playing zone like Milwaukee was tonight, Jimmy Butler is the ultimate triple threat. And he can create advantageous offense and possessions like that. Now, I wonder, again, when the Warriors play other teams that have not just their full cast of characters, but really like two guys, right? I think a big reason why the Warriors struggled before they got Jimmy Butler is because everybody could key in on Steph. Well, tonight, even though Dame Lillard had 38, the Warriors knew where the Bucks' bread was buttered. They knew where they were going to get their baskets from, and the offense was going to run through Dame. So they were able to double-team him. They could try to take the ball out of his hands. Lillard's a fantastic talent. Shout out Oakland. But the thing is, when the Warriors start to play teams with multiple guys that can hurt you, like really off the dribble, create for others, I do wonder how their defense is going to hold up, because while Jimmy Butler, and I've said this before the Warriors even made the trade, like he's a superior player to Andrew Wiggins. Make no doubt about it. And you've seen what he can do offensively for everyone around him, including himself. But I do wonder how the Warriors are going to fare against teams where they need one or multiple point of attack defenders. Because right now, that might be the only, I think, hole. I mean, you could always have more firepower, but that's really, the biggest thing that they traded away. They traded away, actually not one, but two guys, because I think Schroeder was pesty enough to kind of deter smaller guards. But Wiggins was really, you could stick him on Luka, you could stick him on Tatum, you could stick him on a Maxi, you could stick him on, like, on Wednesday, a Kyrie, you could stick him on, shoot, name player, and Wiggins is not maybe going to take him completely out of the game, but he's going to make their life hell. I don't know if Jimmy Butler at his age is still that kind of guy. He absolutely was at one point in his career, and maybe because he hasn't played much basketball so far this season for, you know, obvious reasons, his own reasons, he might be fresh enough to continue to do that. But that's the one thing that I got to wait and see on that part, because I do think that Jimmy Butler offensively unlocks so many different things for the Warriors. But more importantly, he has them playing with confidence again. That's something that has been a recurring theme for Golden State. It's this crisis of confidence, right? This inability to, when you miss shots, either get back and hustle on defense or feel like you're going to come down and knock down a shot in the next possession down. Or just because you missed three in a row doesn't mean that, like, say, for example, the first game against the Bulls. If the Bulls or another team against the Warriors had gone up by 24 points, it's like that game's over. And it's not just because the Warriors, you know, can't come back physically, not because they can't make shots, but they just lose their confidence completely. And Jimmy Butler, I think, at least for now, has erased that feeling of here we go again, because you have another guy that it almost refuses to buy into that. He hasn't been on this team, sure, but that's not really his style. Like, Jimmy Butler fights fire with fire. He doesn't tend to pout. He doesn't tend to mope. He might scream. He might kick, but he also does it in a controlled fashion. Like, Jimmy Butler is also not somebody that picks up technical fouls. He doesn't really hurt his own team in the middle of a game, which Draymond Green actually did tonight, but it didn't end up mattering because they played so well. And I thought Draymond overall played a really good game tonight. Obviously, he had a game-high 5 steals. He and Jimmy Butler teamed up for 9 of the 16, which was a season high for the Warriors, and Draymond was a plus 14. Like, even though Butler's plus-minus was net neutral, you could see the impact. And you could see the impact at the end of the first and into the beginning of the second quarter, and then again the bridge, as we'll call it, between the third and the fourth. And that's when Curry's off the floor. Everyone has always had this idea that if you can win the Steph minutes, well, you can win the game. Well, to me, they're no longer the non-Steph minutes. They're the Jimmy Butler minutes. And tonight, the Golden State Warriors, I believe, were +6 or +7 in multiple 3 to 4 minute stretches. I think a total of 11 minutes where they didn't play together, where Butler was out on the floor, and the Warriors didn't just not, you know, slightly lose or come up even, which is also considered a win on many nights. They won those minutes, and they won those minutes because of Jimmy Butler. So that's another area that I think he adds a lot of positivity to. And you know, again, it's two games in, but you can already see some of these things that if the Warriors' older players can remain healthy and they can remain motivated, if the young guys can fall in line and play the way that they're supposed to, like this is something that you can kind of look at and see, all right, they might have something here. You know, I do wonder again how it's going to play against some of the younger, much faster teams. Chicago is a dumpster fire. Milwaukee is actually older than the Warriors, even though they traded away Chris Middleton. Like, Brook Lopez, it's funny. He was one of the league's better interior defenders as of 2 years ago. He's kind of washed at this point. Kyle Kuzma is a terrible defender. And without Giannis, they just don't have anybody that can really stop anyone on the opposite team. So, to me, the Warriors took advantage of a kind of a downtrodden Milwaukee squad, and they beat a team that they were supposed to. And that's also, but that's valuable. Like, just because you're taking care of business doesn't mean you don't get credit for that. This is a game that the Warriors may have lost 1 month to the day, 1 month ago. Shoot, they lost this kind of game less than a week ago. They lost to the Utah Jazz on the, you know, the night of the deadline. That was a game they blew when they had 10, they were up 10, I think, with 3 or 4 minutes left. And they blew that game. And Kerr said after, which I think is now, you know, again, it's two games in, but I think he's been proven correct so far. If they have Jimmy Butler, they don't lose that game to the Jazz. And it's because of not just, we haven't seen them in crunch time yet, but it's because of the things throughout the games that he's able to do that you can see projecting into a crunch time, slow the game down, half-court scenario. What Jimmy Butler allows the Warriors to do offensively is they can still play fast, which is, I think, when they're at their best and the ball is moving, but he can also maximize a possession where it's slow, where it's kind of clogged up, a clunky possession. And they didn't have, even someone like Steph wasn't able to do that consistently enough for the Warriors to have an offense that wasn't in the bottom five again for the last, you know, month and a half. So he unlocks a lot of different things, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far. In the 2-0 start, you're right, 4-2, another epic Dubs rally led by Curry Butler and Post in the fourth quarter to make it 2-0 in the Butler era. This is from the 5-1-0, not to be too negative, but what was Butler's honeymoon phase like in Miami, Dave in Kensington? Well, I'm glad you asked that, Dave, because I'm pretty sure the first year that Jimmy Butler was in Miami, they made a run to the NBA Finals. Now, that was also in the bubble, which, you know, there's extracurricular or extra extemporaneous circumstances. That's the word I'm looking for there. But, yeah, that first year he was in Miami, yeah, 2019-20, they lost in six games to the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Finals. So the immediate returns of Butler have always been good. Even that first year that Minnesota, when they traded him to Philly, and it was the only 55 games he spent in Philly, but that's the furthest that Joel Embiid has ever gone in the postseason, which was a Kawhi Leonard triple clank away from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. You go back even further than that, because I first fell in love with Jimmy Butler in 2018. I was living in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I had this summer internship with a baseball team. But when I first got there in April, it was at the very end of the season, and Minnesota was an 8 seed. And they got, at the time, the Houston Rockets, who had won 65 games. They were the 1 seed that year, remember, because the Warriors had to play Game 7 in Houston with KD, and they won with the Rockets missing, you know, 27 straight threes or something like that. But earlier in the Rockets' postseason run was a gentleman's sweep in the first round of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Jimmy Butler had just gotten there that very season. And I had a chance to go to Game 4 of that first round Western Conference playoff series at Target Center. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And that was the only game that they won. So I fell in love with Jimmy Butler a long time ago, because I've seen him take teams. That was also the first time that Minnesota had been to the postseason since Kevin Garnett took them to the Western Conference Finals in 2004. So 14 years, it was the longest playoff drought in the NBA. And he got them back to the postseason and broke that stretch. So like the immediate returns, in a long-winded fashion, have always been good with Jimmy Butler. It's just a matter of what happens on the back end, like him mother bleeping the GM in Minnesota, which got him shipped out, or him bad-mouthing the Sixers, who chose Tobias Harris over him, incorrectly so, in 2019, or him now, again, 6 years later. He had a long run in Miami, but at that point, figured that it was all about money, and him and Pat Riley couldn't see eye to eye on it. So we'll leave that for down the road, but Jimmy Butler, when he gets to a team, he wins. And so it doesn't shock me that they've started 2-0, but the way that they've looked and how integrated they've been able to make him, that is what has impressed me the most. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. ABA, David in Oakland's been hanging on patiently. ABA, we'll bring it to the NBA. What's up, my man? How you doing?
And thank you, ABA Ivan Davis.
What's up, man?
That's all good. I was impressed. The most important thing tonight with the Warriors game was the reserves. And that had both the Curry effect and the Jimmy effect. Curry on the outside and Jimmy actually on the inside. That's why they play a zone. And so they have to make a decision. And so when you do that, and you got two players that command attention, there's a major sacrifice that's going to be made. And that's leaving a whole bunch of people like Clinton Post and Moses Moody and Podinsky and all them players wide open. As long as they hit their shots, the Warriors might be a difficult out. Okay, if they could make the postseason, and 31-2, I think, turnover. They got points off turnover. That was literally the difference in the game. And so, you know, because Jimmy's going to command that you play defense also along with him. Okay, he doesn't quite have a voice yet, but you can see they kind of want him to take over a little bit, especially on their second team. And the biggest thing is Steph doesn't have to be rushed off the bench. Jimmy takes over on that second team. And so Curry gets all his rest unless he wants to come back into the game. Okay, and so that's bigger than anything. Okay, you can see Curry, big smile on his face now. He gets all his minutes on the bench, and Jimmy takes over. Okay, and when Kaminga get back, that's going to be fun. My question is, who sits? Because the good thing about that is Kaminga, you don't have to rush him back. With Jimmy out there, but at some point, then you've got to make a decision. And some people think Draymond. But I think maybe put him at the four. You can put him on that small lineup when you put Draymond at the five. But that's going to be an interesting decision. If maybe you could figure that one out for me, my man. I sure appreciate the call. Great show.
Oh, absolutely. I think some astute observations, and yeah, that is going to be a question. What to do with Kaminga when he comes back? But again, whereas a week ago, it was, oh my gosh, we need Kaminga back now. A week fast forward, it's, well, now Kerr's going to have some good options. Like, these are good problems to have, whereas before it was like, we got to get this dude back now. And that's why I was happy to see that Kerr started Moody tonight. And he's a little different than Kaminga, but I don't think that it's out of the question that fast forward a month from now, Kaminga's healthy. They figured out where he fits. You know, I don't know if he's starting. I think most likely he's coming off the bench to, you know, whenever he comes back from his injury, which according to Anthony Slater, he's going to be reevaluated for in 10 days. So I hopefully think we can get, I'll optimistically say we can get JK back by the end of the month. But to me, their best five, like the projected five after March is Curry, Hield, or Pajemski, but then it's Butler, Kaminga, and Draymond. Like that front line, those forwards, that's going to be what determines how far the Warriors can go. That should be their closing lineup. That's their best five to me. And the two spot is a little up for grabs to me. It depends on who's playing well. But again, Jimmy Butler, what he does with this team is he structures the hierarchy. Like, Curry and he are ones. That means that everybody else can fall back into place. It means that Buddy Hield doesn't have to be, on certain nights, your second leading scorer. It means that when he gives you 16 on 15 shots like he did tonight, that's a plus. It means that when Moses Moody can give you 13 points in 30 minutes, that's a plus. That you don't need more than that. That when Quentin Post, who was back to the bench tonight, comes off the pine, knocks down three threes in the fourth quarter, those can be the daggers as opposed to the shots that have to keep you in the game. That when Curry goes for 38, that's a runaway victory. Like, that's what Jimmy Butler does. He provides structure so that the rest of the players can play with freedom. But he organizes them. Like, they now have an identified top eight. And that's something that when Kuminga's back, you can see him and where he slots in, how he fits. The Warriors had so many different combinations and lineups, and I know they're still figuring things out. It's not perfect, but Curry and Jimmy Butler now give you the necessary structure that everyone else can fall into place. And that's why I think their offense has hummed, albeit against two downtrodden teams. And I think their defense hasn't taken that big of a step back. But again, tonight, they shot under 30% from three-point range, and they ran away with this game. Because tonight, they were able to get to the free-throw line more than they did against the Bulls. They were able to get steals. They had hands in passing lanes. They did different things. This team now has more ways to win because Jimmy Butler has always been a player that can win multiple ways. And that to me is kind of what you're getting at. It's like when Kuminga comes back, that should be the gravy. That should be the plus. They no longer look at him as a necessity, right, to get this thing back on track. They did that at the deadline. And again, I don't know if they meant to do it because I think in their perfect world, shoot, I mean, the Warriors might have had Paul George and Lowry Markkanen right now if it could have gone their way. It didn't. And it looks like they dodged a bullet for that. So far through two games, I think Kevin Durant is a better player than Jimmy Butler, but maybe Kevin Durant with what the Warriors had to give up wouldn't have fit or helped the rest of the pieces fit the way that we can see Jimmy doing so through two games. You know, the Warriors might have been able to dodge a couple of bullets. They might have ended up getting the right guy, not by their own choice, but by sheer dumb luck. And right now they're taking it. And hopefully they can run with it. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go out to Petaluma and talk to our guy, Mark. Mark, my man, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to remark before I wanted to get on to the point I wanted to make real quick about Kevin Durant. He always kind of bugs me. Great guy. I love the guy. I think he was overly sensitive, though, as a human being, and that kind of hurt his stay with the Warriors and kind of made him leave. But, I remember him getting the ball at the elbow, and everybody would kind of stop to see what Kevin would do. I don't think it was really that great in terms of the flow of the game for his teammates. That always kind of bugged me about him. But anyway, what I really wanted to ask you about was there's some other guys on what they call the buyout market, and I don't really totally understand that. Maybe you can explain that, exactly what that is technically. But, you know, I saw an article and they were going through possible available players on the buyout market, and I'm wondering if you think the Warriors at this point have any taste for adding anybody off that market, because, you know, you can always improve. Or maybe do you think they might bring up somebody else from the G League? I've heard about Kevin Knox. I think there was an article about him recently.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my question.
Appreciate it, Mark. Yeah, I think that Kevin Knox is going to be a member of this roster because they do need roster spots. And the buyout market is barren, not just because guys have already been picked up. Ben Simmons has been signed. Malcolm Brogdon has been signed, but also, Mark, because with the way that the Warriors have hard capped themselves against the first apron, I don't believe that they can bring in a player off the buyout market that makes more than $8.5 million, like their salary. So even some of those players would be off limits to them. So I think what you're going to see, Mark, is them signing some of their own G League players and maybe a fringe buyout player, but I don't think that they're going to carry a full 15-man roster.
Okay. All right. Good. Appreciate that. And I can't believe I'm saying all this money. Can you believe all the money people make? Jeez. Okay. Anyway, thanks a lot. Okay.
Yeah. Bye. No, I'm with you, Mark. Appreciate the call. Yeah. I wish I could make that kind of bread. Dude, they got the Warriors now have three players that next season will combine to essentially make $150 million. And regardless of age, that's a lot of pesos. I don't want to do the math right now, but it's pretty crazy. All right. This is from the 415. Not only does Butler have his joy back the last two games, it looked like Steph has his joy back as well. Shout out to our guy, Jim Moley. I'm 100% with you. I am 100% with you. And that to me is as much a question about the question about Butler, I think, is also fair to ask about Curry. Like, how long can these guys do this? You know, so far, Curry and Butler in their first two games look like they're 30 years old. But the fact remains that they're not. And so, to me, the biggest question about this new version of the Warriors is, how healthy can they stay? And when Kuminga comes back, you know, you might be able to build in a day of rest for someone like Draymond. You know, you can obviously build in rest for Curry. I think you're going to have to build in rest for Butler. But can you still win those games? Can you get those games? Again, now you also have someone to kind of stagger rest with. You know, are you going to rest Butler, Curry, and Draymond all in the same night? Perhaps no. Maybe that's a game that you can win now. The Warriors have already shown, by the way, that they can win games without Curry. Not that they're better with him out, but they're 6-3, I think, when he's sat primarily on back-to-backs. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure those things out, but it also, like, the Warriors are not really in a position to, at this point, like, play around with their food or play with games. Like, these last two games are games that they had to win if you're going to see them making a run. And in fact, by the end of the season, you know, you might look at some of those blown games, even as recently as Utah. I wouldn't look at the Lakers game as a blown game. That was LeBron James being incredible. But they were also down AD because he was traded and Luka Doncic wasn't ready yet. So that was maybe you look at as a gettable game. I think it's a bit more even. But Utah absolutely was blown. They've had a few of those this season. You know, you couldn't afford to blow the Chicago game. You couldn't afford to blow or not win, I should say, the Milwaukee game tonight with Giannis out. This is a game that you should get. On Wednesday, even, you know, that game becomes much more gettable now because not just Anthony Davis is out, but Derek Lively is out. You know, they're a bit thin on their front line. We'll see how much the Warriors and their ability to get into the paint, to get to the free throw line, carries against a Mavericks team that typically has been pretty good at deterring, you know, paint offense. So you know, the Warriors got to, again, continue to move with the same kind of energy. But the fact that they have it, the fact that they've seemingly captured it in two games, that's what impresses me because they had been largely lifeless for a month and a half and everyone could see it. And I think that while, you know, players like to say or coaches like to say, you know, you keep the noise out of the locker room, let people say what they say. But everyone hears it. Like, everyone's on social media. Everyone is on IG. Even some people or coaches are reading the articles written about them. And eventually, over a month, like, you begin to believe it. That's what I think. I think the Warriors started to believe what people were saying, reading and writing about them. And it was manifesting itself in some of their play where you could see if they were up by double digits and the lead began to slip, you could just tell, like, there was that look of here we go again on their face. And that's something that, you know, they're going to blow some games. It's the way of the NBA. But I think also the fact that they came from behind down 24 in their first game with Butler, Curry was someone who said at the podium that they were not built to come back. They made one trade and all of a sudden they are now built to come back. That's a massive confidence boost. Tonight is a great energizing win because they didn't have to come back tonight. I thought they largely controlled this game from beginning to end. And they won by 14. They were up by 19. Really, the only period that there was, I guess, some sense of not even doubt, but just inconsistency was in that third quarter. And to me, that's where the Warriors have to be right now. They have to be a team that can find some sort of identity. And Jimmy Butler, whether he's the identity or he helps Steph and everyone else kind of find their own, that's to be determined. But it seems like we're moving more towards that as opposed to just this holding pattern that the Warriors have been circling around in, not just for this season, but I would say even going back to last year too, where because of injuries or suspensions or inconsistent play or egos or agendas, they haven't really been a team that we know what to expect from. And I feel like Jimmy Butler's a player that if he can remain healthy, you know what he's going to give you. And tonight, I think you saw that. And on, you know, a couple days ago, you saw that on Saturday. And that's a positive. All right, let's wrap up with Dot in New York. Wants to talk about the two-game, well, I don't know if we can call it a win streak yet, Dot. If they win on Wednesday, that's a win streak. But I'm optimistic. What's going on, my man?
What's going on? Chilling. I'm calling from New York City, man. Long-time Warrior fan, man. Thanks for having me today.
Dude, God bless. It's like midnight out there, ain't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is. I'm here chilling, watching the Laker game, Utah game. But we're going to talk about our Warriors, man. I'm happy we got two games in. You know, two good games. Jimmy Butler is looking good. 25 in the first game, 20 today. And I like the defense that he's putting on. And it seems like, I don't know, man. It seems like a different team, man. It looks like, I know it's just two games in, but I'm seeing a lot of heart. I'm seeing a lot of desire. I'm seeing a lot of effort now. You know what I'm saying? You could clearly see the difference in players between Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. I mean, I know it's just two games, but let's be real, man. Have we seen, even at Wiggins' best this year, we didn't see this the effort that Jimmy Butler brings to that court. You know what I'm saying, to the game. Secondly, Kuminga, I wanted to ask you about Kuminga, man. I don't know. The kid is very talented. He could play some D. He has to work on his jump shot. But I'm not quite sold, man. I don't know if he can be that third, that consistent. I haven't seen too much consistency. That's what my thing. He has to slow down a little bit. He has to learn the game a little bit better. I don't know what it is, but he's not, I don't think he's going to be, I mean, what is he, 22, 23 years old? I think he has a little bit more time, but if he doesn't figure it out within the next couple of years, man, he's just going to be a talented journeyman. You know what I'm saying? That's what I feel. And at this point, I'm like, should we get rid of him? You know what I'm saying? Should we re-sign him over the summer, or should we keep him and try to go for a bigger name? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing right now with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, like I said, I know it's just a sample size. Pods is looking good, too. Quentin Post is looking good. Trey Jackson Davis, oh, man, I'm glad he's on the bench. You know what I'm saying? He brings – I mean, come on, man. I'm glad he's on the bench.
You're not lying.
I mean he's a decent player, but come on, man. Like, he's like a robot out there. Like, he's one-dimensional, and, yeah, he can't shoot. But he's one-dimensional to me. What's my boy? GP2 is looking decent. You know, he's getting his little minutes. He's looking good. And, you know, I don't know. We could get to the 6th, 7th seed, you know. I think, you know, we have we could probably scare a couple people. We might be able to get out the first. We get out the first round and our players are healthy. And hopefully, here's the thing. Like I said, we know what Jimmy's going to give you. We know what Steph is going to give you. And Draymond, the key is Kuminga, man. You heard? Kuminga.
I got you, Dad.
You know? If he just elevates his game, man, slows it down and doesn't make countless turnovers and just he has to slow. I don't know. He just has to. I don't know what he has to do, man. He has to figure it out. But he's gonna have to be the key.
I got you, Dot. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And hopefully get some rest out there. But thank you. I think you made some really good points. I do want to touch on them, but I also have to mention that you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dot actually touched on something that I want to get into, but we got to hit a break here. We got to get to Steve Kerr's sound after the break. So in the 9 o'clock hour, please, if you want to chime in, Hop on the phone lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up. We'll be back after this to play Steve Kerr to our Crash in the Board segment, and then, of course, wrap up this bag boy with your texts, your calls. But 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to touch on some dots said after the break having to do with Kuminga and where he fits. We'll get into that and more on Warriors wrap-up after this on 95.7 The Game.
I'm Bob.
Kuzma puts the ball to Trent Jr. His pass intercepted by Butler. Casual pass by Trent. Now to Pajemski. Pass over the post. He'll take a dribble. It's another three. Yes! Timeout, Milwaukee. Doc Rivers calls time because the postman always rings twice.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
A great call by Tim Roy on 95.7 The Game. The postman also delivered, as well as the Golden State Warriors. 125-111, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Post three threes in the fourth quarter, part of a 36-point outpour with the Warriors essentially. You know, again, this was a game where I realized that it was close going into the fourth quarter. It was a 5-6-point game, but it was the kind of game that you could tell the Warriors had under control. And sort of conversely, there'd been a lot of games over, I would say, the last month and a half, even 2 months, where they were on the opposite side of that. Like Curry or, Kuminga when he was healthy, Buddy Hield at some points, different play. They were doing all they could to make sure that the Warriors were the team that was down by five, that were down by six. You know, in many ways, the Bucks tonight kind of played a game that the Warriors had played again for a long period of time, and Damian Lillard played the role of Steph Curry. Like, his 38 points were just to try and keep the Bucks in this game. And you could tell that Lillard was trying to do way too much. Damian Lillard had 10 turnovers tonight. He had the wrong kind of double-double. Like, you do not want 10 in the TO column. I don't care how many assists you have. So the fact that he had half of their 20 turnovers means that Lillard was trying to wear the cape. And it was just to keep the Bucks in this basketball game. I thought the Warriors, they were up by two at the end of the first period, but, started a little slow. Buddy Hield was shooting it pretty well to keep them right where they needed to be. I mean, Jimmy Butler picked up, I think, two personal fouls pretty quickly in this one, but both sides were hitting shots. They were going back and forth. There's 18 threes combined. Curry had a quick 11. Lillard had 10. Then you get to the second quarter, and then Jimmy Butler starts to slow the game down. He starts to get to the free throw line. He had a bailout last second of a shot clock free throw or foul that he forced to get to the free throw line at the end of the first, and then he gets a pass underneath the basket to start the second, goes up, forces free throws. He was also able to hold his own in the post against someone like Bobby Portis. Creates an extra possession for a Pajemski three a couple minutes into the game. Then Curry comes back into the eight-minute mark after them going plus three in the non-Steph minutes. They just slowly they leaned on Milwaukee tonight in that first half. And then in the third quarter, they committed a lot of fouls. I didn't think that they were great defensively, but they were able to sort of hold off Milwaukee. They didn't allow them to go on that 35-40-point quarter and just kept it at 31-32. The Warriors themselves also got easy offense because Jimmy Butler got to the free throw line. Got to the free throw line 15 times tonight. That's the most that a Warriors player has done that at all this season in a single game. Jimmy Butler back-to-back 13-plus free throw attempt games. First time since Kevin Durant then that's happened. That's where the easy offense comes into play, so that even though your offense is clearly not playing at an optimal level, you're not hitting threes, you're not getting good looks consistently, Jimmy Butler is able to just slow the game down and sort of steal possessions or steal points. And that was something that I also noted, because a lot of Warriors fans on social media, and in general, I think NBA fans, they don't like merchants, right? Guys that hunt free throws. And I get it. It's not that aesthetically pleasing of a style to watch. But it's a whole hell of a lot better when that dude's on your team. Like, when you have the guy that can grift or can get to the free throw line or can accentuate contact and make it look like somebody hacked you when they didn't and get those two easy baskets and then make them because you're an 85% free throw shooter, then it becomes a different ball game. Like, to me, the free throw merchants of the world, they hunt contact. They seek contact. Yes, it's a little cheap, but also the hidden part about it is because they know they're going to make the free throws. Like SGA, why does he try to get to the free throw line as much as humanly possible at the behest of me going, oh my gosh, I can't stand to watch this guy play? It's because he shoots 91% from the stripe. Like, those are free points. James Harden, in his prime, free points. Joel Embiid, even a couple of years ago, free points. Jimmy Butler got the Warriors 13 free points tonight, and they ended up winning by 14. Like, that's the difference in the game, because he can get to where he needs to and get easy shots and easy points. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. You got some calls, some texts. Chime in on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Happy to get you on the air here. But in the meantime, let's listen to Steve Kerr if we can, Cam. Steve Kerr talking about the 125-111 win. Here he is.
16 steals tonight. I know when you were at your best early in the season, you were kind of a super disruptive team. I mean, is that kind of what you saw tonight?
Yeah, it's great. You know, the possession battle, I mean, we got 17 more shots than they did, three more free throws. Almost impossible to lose a game where you get that many more possessions and attempts. So, love the defensive aggressiveness. And about the only thing I could complain about in the game is the fouls in the third quarter. You know, that's what allowed them to get back in it. I think they drew three fouls in the first minute or two of the third quarter, and that kind of changed the game. But our guys responded really well and played a fantastic fourth quarter.
Went to the small ball starting lineup. Just what went into that decision? What did you think of that?
Damian Lillard went into that decision, so it's a pretty easy choice. Didn't really want to put Quentin in that position as a rookie of having to guard high pick and roll. And just felt a lot better with Draymond starting at the five, just to start the game out with a little tighter defense on Dame in the pick and roll. And then obviously Quentin, you know, he came in and made his mark. Didn't matter. He came off the bench ready to roll and gave us some huge buckets.
How comfortable is he getting?
I mean, that last three, I think there were 20 seconds on the shot clock. And so the confidence is really impressive with Quentin. And I'm just so impressed by, you know, just the way he plays, the nature of his game. There's no hesitation. He knows exactly what he's doing. So it makes him quicker than he actually is. When you know what's coming, when you have a feel for the game like he does, it improves your ability to make things happen and to stay in front defensively. And he's a well-schooled, you know, well-coached player who's come in here as a rookie, just ready to go.
So now you're 2-0 now with Jimmy, and you still have yet to probably install a lot as much as you'd like. What are you feeling right now with this team and the momentum that's building?
Yeah, I think the guys feel really good about these two games, recognizing that both games were games we might have lost earlier in the season. And I think the fact that Jimmy went to the line 15 times tonight, 13 times the other night, shows you the power of free throws and, you know, the ability to get your defense set and settle a game down when it needs settling. So it's a big change. We don't go to the line much, but last two games, I think up over 30 free throws each game. So maybe that's about to change.
How has he been able to make this? It seems like it's been a seamless transition
to
the new team after having not really played in a while for a while. Just has got made it so quick.
It has been absolutely seamless, and it's because of Jimmy's IQ. He just has an incredible feel for the game. And so all we had to do was give him a few of our actions, terminology, the last couple of days. And we just, you know, we're running three or four things. And otherwise, it's just basketball. And he knows how to play basketball.
That's Steve Kerr after the 125-111 win. Warriors over the Bucks. Now a game back above 500. I think officially also into the play-in territory. But 2-0 to begin the Jimmy Butler era. A lot to dig into off of those comments. I think first, because he mentioned the defense. Like, that's why they went to the smaller lineup tonight with Moses Moody. And I think that is going to be still a little bit of a concern, because the Warriors don't have a bunch of point of attack defensive options. Like, I think their best on-ball defender right now is probably Gary Payton II, but he doesn't play a lot, obviously, because he's limited offensively. So Moses Moody is someone that I saw him last year. There was a string of three games on a road trip where Andrew Wiggins had to miss them for personal reasons, where he guarded, I think it was Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson, and Tyrese Maxey, three straight nights. And I don't know if the Warriors won all those games, but I'd be willing to bet they went at least 2-1. And Moody was the primary point of attack defender on three pretty damn good point guards. Halliburton and Maxey are both much quicker than Brunson, but Brunson is incredibly talented. And if they can get that same guy back, you know, if Moses Moody can be the player that can really help the rest of the team against those kind of quicker guards, I think that's how this defense can stay at a similar level to where it was with Andrew Wiggins, who typically filled that role and has helped make the Warriors a top 10 defense. Like, the issue with this team this year has not been defense, and that's what's also been promising so far, is that they haven't really taken a step back. But I would also argue that they haven't played a team that has two number ones. You know, Giannis didn't play tonight. The Bulls are not very good. And even Dallas, we might not learn yet. You know, to me, Houston's a team that's really going to test the Warriors. Although, to be fair, they don't really have two ones. You know, the Green is someone that can score but hasn't had success against the Warriors, much in part due to Wiggins in the past. You know, Şengün is someone that hasn't really gotten off yet. You know, they win with their defense, and we'll get to that game when we do. But the thing about Butler, where I think he is a really good defender, is off the ball. And while I don't know at age 35 if he's still the same tenacious on-ball defender that can really just kind of put the vice grip on anybody when he was, you know, five-time all defensive, but he takes correct gambles. Like, there was a play tonight where Lillard brought it up. It was one of his 10 turnovers, but he was loose and he kind of just floated it over to, it might have been Kuzma or Green, and Butler just came over on the weak side and just plucked it out of the air, just ripped it. And then they went up and they ended up getting a basket out of it. And it was a point off turnover. The Warriors at one point were 19-2 in terms of points off turnovers tonight. And I think Jimmy Butler's a big reason why. He had four steals in this game. Draymond had five. But the combination of Jimmy along with Draymond as help defenders, you know, again, I'm not sure man-to-man against quick players how good they can still be at their advanced ages, but as help defenders, they are two of the best in the NBA still. And that is very promising for me when you're looking at how the Warriors can continue to maintain a top 10 defense, even having removed Wiggins, who was their best on-ball defender, and to some extent, Schroeder, who is a guy that Kerr would deploy against some of those quicker players. So I think GP2 is their best defender, but if Moody can get in there and do some of that, that's a plus. I also think that's why, you know, in the first segment I mentioned that I think Kuminga, Butler, and Draymond is going to eventually be that forward group that finishes games, because Kuminga, while he's not a great help defender yet, he is very disruptive on the ball when he's able to lock in. And so if Kuminga can take that next step and fill that role that Wiggins has now left, along with what Jimmy does away from the ball, along with what Draymond does away from the ball, well then we're starting to cook with something there. And I think that's how the Warriors can try and overcome what they've lost, while also obviously having a big upgrade offensively. And that's something that, you know, the Warriors are a team, I think, that plays optimally offensively when they move the ball, with motion. But Andrew Wiggins, I mean, you can just see so clearly that while Wiggins might be able to get you 17.5 points, and that's where Butler may end up averaging, it's what he did before he got here. You know, he's not someone that averages 20 points per night in the regular season with a ton of frequency. I think for his career, he's around 18 or 19. But what he can do with the ball as a passer, like, he's, I think it's appropriate that he's wearing number 10 after his, one of his favorite soccer players, Neymar, because the way that he is able to identify space on the floor and understand where the ball needs to go, where he is juxtaposed to other players, like, he does kind of make it feel like you're watching soccer a bit. And that's a sport that he loves. I think he might even have an investment in Miami FC. But he chose number 10 because he loves Neymar. I've seen YouTube videos where he's met him and conversed with him and messed around with him and stuff. And I think Jimmy Butler is, that's another reason why he can work with Kerr. Kerr is also someone that's talked about the importance of maybe not two sport players, but how basketball, and when spacing is proper, reflects that of a pitch on a soccer pitch. And Jimmy Butler, I think already you can tell just from watching him, if you've never seen him before in two games, you know where he needs to go. And you can tell that he understands where the ball needs to go once he has it in the proper position to set up his teammates. So I think that's something that is, again, promising for the Golden State Warriors. All right, this is from the 626 on our text line. Warriors had the league on notice. Chef Curry and JB are elite, the duo for a surging squad. Well, they definitely got a shot in the arm. They got an adrenaline boost. And that's what this team needed. You know, I thought that they had to make a move at the deadline. I didn't necessarily believe that Jimmy Butler was the answer. And neither, quite frankly, did the Warriors. They thought it was Durant, and I was kind of with them. I wanted the Warriors to get more talent, right? That's what Kerr's talked about. That's what they've lacked from watching them this season. And Jimmy Butler is a talent. I know people forget about him, but that's why, he's one of the more underrated players of his generation. If you're asking me, and this might be going out on a limb, but if you're asking me who I want on my team, am I taking prime Jimmy Butler, prime James Harden, prime Russell Westbrook? Those latter two players have MVPs on their resumes. I think I might take Jimmy Butler, as asinine as that might sound to some people. And that's not to disparage James Harden or Russell Westbrook. But I've seen how far those teams go. And I've seen how far Jimmy Butler has gotten a few teams that I think have been far less talented than James Harden-led Rockets teams, Brooklyn teams, Philly teams, or Russell Westbrook-led or aided Oklahoma City Thunder teams. And that, you know, I know the East has been a bit weaker than the West, and there's certainly a big reason why, the Golden State Warriors. But Jimmy Butler is a winner, man, and I think it's appropriate that the Warriors have won their first two games. I think the area that I'm most interested to see how the Warriors' offense matches up moving forward is going to be when they play teams that are bigger than them. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, there's not a ton of those squads that can offer really, I don't know, you know, just a ton of shot blocking and paint defense. But I was talking with someone in our YouTube chat about this. To me, it's against the Clevelands or Dallas at full strength, for example, against what Los Angeles used to be when they had Anthony Davis. I'm just trying to think right now in the Western Conference. I think Memphis is a team that's good defensively in the restricted area. Houston, just because of their length, is a really good defense that's hard to handle. Zubats is a deterrent in the paint for the Clippers. The Timberwolves are a good defensive group, but the Warriors have had success against them otherwise. Even someone like San Antonio with Wembanyama. Like, I'm curious to see how the Warriors' offense looks against those teams that have legitimate big men that can alter shots at the cup and that also defend, more importantly, without fouling. Because with all due respect, the Bulls and the Bucks, a Giannis-less Bucks squad, those two teams, they're layup lines. Like, those aren't teams that are interested or talented enough to keep you out of getting to your spot. And I think that's why the Warriors and Jimmy Butler have had success getting to the free throw line. That's why I'm also excited for Kuminga to come back, because up until Butler, Jonathan Kuminga was the only player, while he's not a great free throw shooter like Butler is, he was the only guy that could press a button and get to the free throw line. He was the only guy that could apply pressure at the 10 with any form of consistency. And you know, again, he's not an 85% free thrower like Jimmy Butler is. But when you add Kuminga with Jimmy Butler, and you have two players that can apply that same similar amount of pressure against teams that have better bigs, that have more defensive-minded front lines, that's where I think we're going to see the void of Kuminga until probably the end of the month, when I'd expect him to come back from his sprain, his ankle sprain. That's where I would expect to hopefully have him help, you know, whether it's the second unit off the bench, maybe the closing lineup. But in general, that's where I think Jonathan Kuminga is still going to be an addition to this team. You know, Curry's not going to get to the free throw line 9 times like he did tonight against Milwaukee. Butler, I don't think, is going to get to the free throw line 15 times, or even an average of 14 times, which he has through his first two games. They're going to need someone else to take some pressure off of those two players. And I think that's where, again, I talked about Jimmy Butler bringing structure to the hierarchy of the Warriors. If Curry's the one and Jimmy Butler is the one when Steph's off the floor, and the 1A when Curry's on the floor, well, then you don't need Kuminga or Hield to be the twos. Kuminga can now be your third scorer. And I wonder how he's going to handle that, because typically he's played at his best when he has the ball in his hands and he's empowered, right? When he plays a lot of minutes and when they have him in action. I wonder how he's going to be when he's more off the ball, because it's Butler and Curry's show. But I also think that Butler is someone that can help Kuminga, because we've already seen him build a synergy, say, with a Pajemski or a Moody or even a Draymond. Like, he can put players in positions to succeed, and we've seen him do it very quickly without having much, if any, practice at all. I mean, for crying out loud, on Saturday, Jimmy Butler couldn't even go to shoot around because the Warriors had to wait until the players that they shipped off for him passed their physicals. So Jimmy Butler basically, I mean, he didn't show and go, but virtually, he didn't practice with him. He couldn't figure out. So today, there was a video posted by Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, where Butler was just going through simple pick-and-roll coverages during shoot-around this morning in Milwaukee with Curry. Like, that's something that over the course of time, ideally, you will get more comfortable with, get better at, and that also applies to his relationship with Kuminga, the on-court relationship, his on-court relationship, you know, with Pajemski that can continue to grow. I think Pods has really benefited from having another ball handler, because that's something also, too, you notice tonight in some of those second-unit lineups, you know, it's Santos and Post out there along with Butler, Pods, and another, maybe it's Buddy Hield, could have been Gary Payton II, but players that aren't ball handlers. And that's where I think Pods has struggled this year, when he's had to play on the ball and be the one, be the point. Jimmy Butler can play point guard. Jimmy Butler is a player that's averaged 7 assists across a full NBA season in his career. He's been the guy that can play on and play off. And that's where I think I underestimated his ability on offense to work with other players outside of just Curry. Like, Curry can assimilate anybody to this system. I think he can bring in, and just because he doesn't demand the ball. But I thought that Jimmy Butler would be a little more, I don't know if it's ball dominant, but because he's not a good shooter or perimeter shooter, I thought there would be some spacing issues. Jimmy Butler is someone that so far against these two teams has shown me that spacing is not as big of a concern as I thought. And the fit that I thought would take some time has actually been kind of immediate. So it'll continue to grow against a team like Dallas and Houston, which also is going to feature the Warriors' first back-to-back with Jimmy Butler, and we'll see if Curry plays both those games. It's also, again, going to be the third game Houston will in 4 nights. It's going to be the 4th game in 7 days. So how do the Warriors, which are now led by an aging core of a 36, 35, and 34-year-old, how do they sustain this? How do they continue to play at this high level? You know, the fact that Butler only played 31 minutes tonight is a good thing, because you're going to need him for that back-to-back. And you're going to need him to play at a high level to try and beat, I think, two good opponents, even if Dallas is a bit hurt at this point. So, you know, a lot to look forward to. To me, the biggest takeaway is that the Warriors are must-watch again. They're entertaining. They're interesting. They're intriguing. And there's ways for them to improve as well. I think Jimmy Butler has come in and set a floor of expectation for this team that they can get back to winning basketball games and beating teams that they're supposed to beat, taking care of the bottom feeders like Chicago, and without Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee tonight. Those are two teams that they should beat. And as of a week ago, they lost to a Utah Jazz team up 10 with under 5 left that they should have put away. That is what that's the Jimmy Butler effect. In essence. So I'm excited to continue to watch it. I'll be with you on Wednesday for Warriors Live and Warriors Wrap Up. They play the Mavs on the road in Dallas. Probably going to be some security there, but not for the Warriors, for Nico Harrison. But I'm looking forward to covering that game right here from San Francisco in our 95.7 The Game studios. Warriors Live will be at 5:30. I'll have you for Warriors Wrap Up. And the Jimmy Butler era moves on. 2-0. Can they get their first winning streak with Jimmy Butler? Can they win their third game in a row for the first time? And I haven't even looked at this point because the vibes are so good. Can Steph Curry grab his fifth consecutive 30-point game? He's got 4 in a row. Only 36-year-old to do that, not named Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, or LeBron James. First time he's had 4 30-point consecutively since 2020-21 when he was last first-team All-NBA. Curry seems to like Jimmy Butler. And I think Warriors fans are beginning to warm up to him too, despite everything that happened prior in the state of Florida. All right, so I'll talk to you on Wednesday on Warriors Wrap-Up. That'll do it for us here in the studio. I want to remind everybody to tune in tomorrow. We got knockout spots to give away for a big event coming up at Chase Center. We got different prizes throughout the week, getting you set for All-Star Weekend. Looking forward to covering that event as well all weekend long here, whether it's the Celebrity Game, the Rising Stars Game, which Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis are going to be in, Moses Moody and Draymond Green are in the Skills Competition, Buddy Hield's in the Three-Point Contest, Curry's in the All-Star Game. We got a lot going on here at 95.7 The Game, as do the Golden State Warriors. So we'll talk to you on Wednesday. In the meantime, again, 6 to 10, Spadoni and Shasky. 10 to 2, I'll talk to you with Steiny and Guru tomorrow, and then from 2 to 6 with Willard and Dibbs. Big thank you to Cameron Williams, as always, our Warriors Network coordinator. Big thank you to Chris O'Connell, back here cutting up sound for you, making a sound A1 day one on 95.7 The Game. My name is Evan Giddings, saying so long, and a big thank you again to all those that called in, texted in, chimed in. We'll talk to you next time in your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.